If not, I'll move that. There we go. Moving on to item three, which is approval of the minutes of the October 30th regular meeting.
Do you want to appoint me so I can vote?
We have to, for a Jim to fill, let's see,
Gerald.
Cheryl's seat today, and we're good. For our records, Mr. Hayes is here. There we go, on the screen. I don't see any other member here. Our attorney, Mr. Barger, is online, and we have our Fulton resident, Mr. Lersch, and Bill from Coventry. So we'll go on to item three now. Approval of the minutes of the October 30th of regular meeting. Have the minutes here. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as presented. Whoever would like to just jump in.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Good. Motion is made and seconded. Anybody have any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions?
I probably have to abstain because I wasn't there, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And negative votes? Hearing none, the motion passes. New business number four, consider an act on establishing a refund process when necessary. I'll pass over to Jim.
So this is a request from Terry over in Coventry. You know, occasionally somebody may do something that requires a refund, and we just currently have no refund policy. So she's asking that we consider putting a refund policy together. If the board likes, I can work with her, try to get something put together, run it through our legal counsel, and then bring it back to you at our next meeting.
That's fine, Jim, but I'd like to understand, you know, I'd like to see a couple of examples from them, if at all possible, as to when they think a refund would be appropriate. So there must be a reason they have more history than we do. There must be a reason that they're requesting this. I just want to understand the circumstances associated with this request.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I mean, one of the things that can happen sometimes, you'll have a dual ownership of the property. If both people happens to send in a payment, you then got to give it back, you know, it's whatever, but that's just one circumstances, but I'm glad you brought it up and we'll check that out too. But I think it's a good idea because we should establish this policy, because if it comes up, we're all set to go. We don't have any issues. Going to item four, which is pending business, collection enforcement through tax sales. So,
you have a memo from Terry over in Vernon regarding that. The tax sale is, there was three properties that were going for tax sale. One has taken care of their arrearage and is no longer up for tax sale, but 1075 Boston Turnpike, and I believe it's 10 Sunset Lane, are set for tax sale on April 1st in the Vernon Town Council chambers at 1 p.m.
That's good. I mean, we're looking back on our history. This is limited to this amount. I think we're in good stead. And I don't know if anyone else have any comments or any questions on this. If not, I'll move on to the next item, which is the 890 Boston Turnpike EDUs issue. And Jim, I'll let you.
So we had a discussion at the last meeting, and we sent the appropriate letter out. We got a letter back that disagreed with our assessment and a check for $60,000. That check for $60,000 did clear. Mr. Moore and I did discuss it. And what we learned is that some of the spaces are in fact just rooms. So we adjusted our calculations and believe that they are still in arrears to us by $20,000. We sent another letter out to that effect, and we have not received an additional payment. So we're waiting for the 30 days date to come around, which will be here, I think, next week. And then we'll be tasking our council with putting a lien on the property so that, you know, if in fact something happens with that property, we'll be able to be made whole. We also discussed the rear charges for sewer usage fees based on, because they were paying based on the EDUs that were allocated, not what they actually should have been assessed. And so one of the things that we found is that state statute actually trumps what we were hoping to be able to do, and we could only go back 3 years. And that has been billed by the town of Vernon tax department to the owner at 890 Boston Turnpike.
What's that amount, Jim?
I honestly don't know, Rich. Okay. I can find that out for you.
Just for the next meeting, for the record, if you don't.
Yeah, I didn't think to ask for that. I'm glad you asked, though.
Well, we have made some significant progress on that particular property. Obviously, you can tell with the cash we've been able to receive, and we're anticipating we can continue to move forward with it, but we shall see. If there are any questions, if not, I'm going to move on to item 5C, which is the FY 2025-2026 budget and public hearing. We, in your packet, we have a proposed budget and also a history to really help you get a sense of where we are and where we're going.
Jim, she didn't give you a proposed budget. She just gave you
a history
from 2020 up through now. The only real anomaly that we noticed was the sewer use charges for Manchester are already up to $47,642, and we've only paid two bills. So I have asked our town engineer next time he's in the area just to check the two meters and make sure that there's not a discrepancy there. And then we'll make a comparative with the bills. But other than that, you know, spending is really pretty much on track with what we had budgeted for last year.
So if we're at 40, how much? Two?
Did you 40, say 47,642?
Wow. So obviously 642. We're only halfway through the year.
Right, and our total last year was just over 60,000.
Okay.
And if you look at that, Rich, it's been pretty consistent other than the first year, which was 2020. That was almost 70,000.
More people were home.
Yeah,
COVID.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah.
I got last year 55,597. Am I missing something?
That's 2023.
Yeah.
2024 doesn't show here.
Yeah, no, well, that's 60,000.
60,575.
Interesting. I don't have that line. How am I missing that?
I'm not sure.
No, it should be there. But, you know, the numbers should be a lot closer to the 60,000 than the, you know, 80 something that this thing seems to be projecting.
Right.
So that's why we're checking it out.
Whoever's missing that line might be on my sheet, which is on page 8, but they want page 5.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the supplemental attachment. I was checking the email.
Is that what happened?
I think it's on the supplemental, and I don't think I got that another place. Let me just that must be what it is. Jim, I just needed for my own edification, if you don't mind.
Okay.
To mentioning the equipment line item, can you just expand on that? I know we've talked about this, but I have a failing memory in this regard. So Can you tell me what that line item represents?
Well, I mean, sometimes we actually have to buy equipment that goes along with, you know, what we're doing. I mean, it could be a spare grinder pump motor. It could be valves. We try to keep a stock of certain items in, you know, on hand so that if we have an emergency, we have the ability to, you know, just swap something out.
Geez, I'm not finding that 24. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question or comments for Jim?
So I think, you know, other than, you know, making sure that there's no issues here with the sewer use charges, I think we'd be fine adopting, you know, the same budget for this upcoming fiscal year that we had for last year.
Okay.
And that would make our user folks quite happy.
Right, because you wouldn't have to, you know, change your fees at all.
We wouldn't have to increase our fees. And looking back, quite honestly, looking, not to knock on wood, but looking historically back, a lot of the more expensive issues that we have incurred over the years seem to level out a bit. And that's some proactive issues on the authorities' part. But if we continue that way, I think it bodes well for us as far as maintaining a relatively level, obviously you can't go on forever, a level, but budget with just moderate increases. We do have things that we're going to be, Jim mentioned, I'll put it in here, things about the sewer, the filter.
Yeah.
I want to mention an item that will cost a few dollars, but I think is going to be critical to an issue we keep having. The area around prices and the restaurants up in that area, periodically, gets hit with the septic odor coming out of that area and nowhere else in the system. It's just there. And we've tried adjusting the bioxide to see if that was it, or, you know, some of it could be, you know, coupled with air inversions. The two sort of work together, but there had to be a reason from there. And Jim got into a very positive discussion with the company that does our maintenance, and maybe you can share that.
Yeah, so I recently had a meeting with FR Mahoney. We were talking about some, you know, just some general issues and some service issues that we've had, just trying to make the whole process that we go through with them when our customers call for service just a little bit better. And they, you know, they asked, you know, how's things going? Do you have any, you know, issues that we can discuss with you? I said, well, you know, the one thing that keeps coming up time after time, you know, is right there, you know, at the top of the hill where we transition from a force main to a gravity system, you know, we get an odor. And he said, yeah, we've dealt with that before. And the explanation was, is that, you know, you've got a force main that's coming out into an open manhole, and the effluent is very turbulent there. So it stirs it up, and, you know, it really, you know, can be quite, the odor can be quite strong. He has had luck solving that problem with, basically it's a filter sock that goes inside the manhole cover. So you take the manhole cover off, it hangs around the lip of the manhole, and you put this filter in there, and it probably has something like activated charcoal or something like that in there. And he said that they found that to be very successful in other circumstances very similar to this.
Rob, you ever experienced anything like that in Vernon?
Yeah, we have some of those in our forest main over by the rail trail over by Merline. And so, you know, they work and then they don't. So again, it has to be, you know, replaced periodically.
Right.
And sometimes it also does get overwhelmed anyway. I mean, it's just a filter, you know, but I mean, it's worth a shot.
How often do you have to replace them, Rob, normally?
Well, we actually just seal them all in. We put them in there, and then we basically cover the manhole with plastic, and then we bury it, you know, and then we try to do it that way. And then every couple of years, when we get a complaint, we'll change it out. So I mean, and also we have bioxide that we add to that line at our Talcottville station, and we basically put a steady flow in there. We probably spend about $35,000 a year in chemicals just for that station, just to try to keep on top of that.
So I wanted to go back to the budget for 1 minute because I'm not seeing something that I'm interested to understand. You know, Dan Champagne, made a marvelous case a year or two ago in regard to a reserve. And I'm not seeing any reserve funds here. Are we still following that policy, correct, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so, I will make sure that appears on the next document.
It's there. It didn't appear on the document.
Okay.
But we did establish that fund.
Good. I just want to make sure we keep track of that.
Yep.
Okay. Can I ask a new guy a question real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So this is an expenditure report on your 6 month spend, but where's an actual budget? Is it just what you expended on the FY24 is our proposed budget?
Can you repeat that question?
What I'm looking at is an expenditure report. I'm not looking at a proposed budget.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. That's all it is.
The budget comes next month, John.
Got it. Okay. That's a new guy question. So
that's all right.
So the actual budget hearings we tend to have in April.
Yeah.
So but we'll put together a proposed budget for everyone to review, and then we present it to the public and then act on it based on that. But looking at, I think what Jim alluded to earlier, is so far based on our experience and our operating budget, we're hopeful to be able to maintain our expenditures very, very similar to where they currently are. Anybody else have any other questions or comments? If not, we're going to move on to commentary. And since Coventry's here tonight.
For having us back again. So unlike Bruce, Coventry wastewater treatment plant operator, and Bill Watkins, our public works director, wanted to be here, but I talked him out of it because he's got a cold and I just had one, and no one wants to get sick again.
But he's here online. But
thanks for
he's online. So he's yeah.
So if you guys don't mind, I'll share first just a map of the service area. The proposed service area. So this is Route 44, Bolton to the left here, Coventry to the right. We've got 21 properties. It's about 3,000 feet. Some of these, this is Weston's auction plaza there, and the electrician beneath it, 7-Eleven, self-storage, funeral home, and then some professional office buildings over here. And then a couple of these parcels are vacant right now. This is a cornfield, and this has got the snack shack on it. And I'll switch back there. I think that was your budget. So I looked at three areas of fees that Coventry is going to be paying to Bolton. The upfront connection fee, use fees, and future capital repairs. We, in the past, tried to use flows as the basis for the connection fee. That ended up being a challenge because neither town is going to be at their maximum flow for who knows when. I mean, your flow allotment was 200,000 gallons a day. Originally, we thought ours was going to be much higher. I mean, our future proposed build out was around 30,000 gallons a day. Realistically, I think when we start, it's going to be up about 3,000 gallons a day. So, and I think you guys are flowing around 30,000 gallons a day now.
I think that's actually
somewhere around there.
In that range. Yep.
For discussion purposes, I put together, I'm jumping ahead of myself here a little bit. Let's just start with connection fees. Coventry is offering or proposing an upfront connection fee of $375,000. Mm-hmm. That's not based on flow.
How many parcels?
21 parcels. So we also will have to pay connection fees to Manchester, which have been hard to pin down. I've got an estimate on what that's going to be, but that's something else that, you know, that we need to take into consideration too.
Yeah, they have a formula for all those various commercial properties.
Right.
And it's a confusing formula.
Yeah, it looked like someone has to count all the plumbing fixtures in every building, and then they've got a whole sheet with maximum gallons per minute based on it. But they gave me a ballpark about what it would be for a single family house with two bathrooms in it, kind of what the average fee would be. So, and we're not going to get a firm number from them until I think you guys apply to them. So that's going to be an unknown for us until we sign an agreement with you. Maybe we can get a little closer to that before signing, but either way, we're proposing an upfront connection fee of $375,000.
Can you take us through the math on that, please?
There wasn't a lot of math in it. It was a number that we felt comfortable that our town council could contribute from our general fund to pay for this. So I don't know how much of the background you have, Mr. Hayes. We've been working on this for a while. We got a grant which will pay for part of the construction, and then we're going to levy sewer assessments on the property owners, but we're still going to be shy probably around $500,000 that our Coventry Town Council is going to have to somehow bond for and appropriate out of general taxation. So as a sidebar, a council at some point, once we agree on the fees, is going to have to decide if this is worth it for them. And I don't know really what their thoughts are on that. We haven't really gotten that far with them. So originally, you had proposed a connection fee of $800,000. That would be a deal breaker for us. We can't. There's the payback that we would get on the tax revenue would be so far out in the future that I think I can speak for the town saying that wouldn't be worth it. So our counter offer is $375,000.
Mm-hmm. So that answer? You haven't vetted this with the council. Aren't we kind of spinning everybody's wheels here until you get that piece of the puzzle in place?
So our town manager has had some conversations with the town council about it. I'm just not exactly sure what the details of those conversations have been. But our town manager's instructions to me and Bill Watkins was to come here, kind of give this counter offer of the proposed fees. I assume you guys will have to talk it out. And we're not expecting a final answer tonight, of course. But to get some fees to bring back to our town council and let them decide if they're, you know, if they think it's worth it. Should we move on to quarterly use fees?
Yep.
Okay. So I apologize on the Zoom that this is kind of grainy and blurry up there. That's what happens. But I took some of your past year's budgets
from your meeting packets. That was useful. I looked at the lines that I thought would actually the Coventry sewer users would be benefiting from, because I don't think our users should be paying to maintain or replace pumps in Fulton or Vernon, since we're going to be owning our own pumps. You know, we're going to have to pay to maintain our own. So, but certainly, you know, we're paying our low base share of use fees to Manchester, of course, and for odor control chemicals, because that's, you know, we'll be using a share of those. Again, up here, I think Coventry, and this is discussion purposes, we'd have to see after we put flow meters in, would be about 9% of the total flow. You're 30,000 gallons now, we're adding 3,000, so we'd be about 9%. So I think it's fair for Coventry to pay 9% of the use fees and the chemical, odor control chemical, dioxide supplies. Then, but again, I don't think maintenance and septic pumping for properties in Bolton and Vernon should be paid by Coventry users. And then you've got your administrative costs. We understand that, you know, operating your whole system has costs that are shared. This is my proposal that we pay based on the number of percent, based on number of properties in the system. And I think you have 300 properties in your system, about?
No, it's more than that.
Oh, okay.
I think it's closer to four.
Oh, okay. Well, we would adjust that percentage then. You want me to try to do that right now?
No, that's okay.
No.
Okay.
Just we know what the basis was, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that would probably go down to about $2,000 just off the top of my head. So just to give you an idea, so we'd be paying about $10,000 a year. Again, we've got 21 properties, two of them are vacant, but one of them is multiple EDUs. So we have about 23 users sharing this. So we'd be looking at a use fee that we would have to charge of about $437. That would just be to pay Fulton Lakes Regional. Then we would have to tack on some more money for maintenance of all the pumps in Coventry. So I'm thinking we would start. So just to give you guys an idea, you know, if we go with this, maybe it would come down a little bit if these administrative cost percentages went down. But it's a hefty sewer use fee for Coventry residents. And again, I mean, this is something our town council needs to, I mean, if we could get this number down, your residents are paying about $420 a year.
$105 a quarter.
Okay. $420 a year. So my math has our residents paying more than yours are, and then we would still have to tack on additional money to perform maintenance, and then, you know, at some point replace pumps in the Coventry side and any line cleaning or anything else that needed to be done. So the point of me telling you all this is...
So just for clarification,
yeah.
On top of that, each town also contributes, you know, some services to the authority that doesn't show up here.
Okay.
That
all right.
James. We send our crews out.
But I act as the sewer administrator. Right. We have our buildings and grounds crew actually goes out and hooks up generators during long term power outages and cycles right. pumps.
Right.
The town of Vernon does all of the billing. You know, so those are costs that you don't see in any of this.
So just so your council understands that our system operates not just off of the income that generated from the use, mm-hmm. but also from a taxpayer contribution from both towns.
Okay.
And it seems like you would kind of be in the same boat a little bit.
Yeah, just right. The reason that's why I mention it, that, you know, when you're talking to your council and all that, and it's because the systems are so small, that's the most cost effective way you can operate it, because otherwise you're, you know, the individuals are
right
being right. charged an excessive amount.
I hope your residents appreciate that.
Well, the return.
I hope you hear it.
Yeah, well, the return is what you're anticipating is some commercial growth. So do some offset.
Right. Right.
And that ours, we had the same concept to improve the air, improve the values. Long term, your tax revenue will increase and offset that. So right. that's been the premise, and it's sort of working that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob, just another thought on that that point where Bolton are managing the system and Vernon people are handling finances and billing. They're doing that for residents of Vernon and Bolton.
Right.
Now bringing in residents of Coventry, and there's going to be some administration of that system that Coventry will be using. So obviously, there's a sense of fairness that has to apply with regard to the administrative fees that the authority should be able to get for those volunteered services that are out there, because it's a different fact situation. It's not Bolton and Vernon serving Bolton and Vernon taxpayers. It's Bolton and Vernon now administering a system that benefits Coventry residents. So I think that principle we shouldn't lose sight of that principle. I had a question for Mike. Mike, you've been in the sewer business quite a bit, and you're a paid director of the Coventry system. I don't want to know your salary. I know it's public information, but that's irrelevant here. What value do you place on the reserve capacity that Coventry is signing on for? I've got some questions about how you get to 3,000 gallons per day, but what value are you placing on the reserves that Coventry would have available to it? The difference between 30,000 and 200,000 gallons per day is out there. There's no restrictions. Bolton's not putting any restrictions on that in the term sheet that you got. So just as a person in your position, maybe you could tell us what value you think that reserve capacity would have for Coventry, the ability to add commercial properties in the future, developments in the future, and so on and so forth.
That's a great question. I can't put a financial number on that, but yeah, again, we'd be asking for 29,000 gallons a day of capacity, because that's what DEP approved when we went through the SEPA process. So I've been rounding it off and saying 30,000, but it's really 29,000. So that's what we're not allowed to ask for anymore. But there's a good point that there certainly is value to that reserve that will benefit Coventry for probably decades, because I think it would take a lot of development for us to get to that point. But I don't know how to put a financial number on that.
But your offer of 375 doesn't take that into account?
Obviously not.
Okay. So
that was me answering Richard, not Mike, but
yeah. No, that's true. I thought there was a ventriloquist out there.
Yeah. Yeah, again, that 375 is a number that I came up with that I in an unofficial conversation with our finance director thought it's something she thought that the town could live with.
Okay. What's how large is your grant, Mike?
1.2 million.
Yeah. I think that's,
yeah,
that sounds right.
We asked for 1.5, but 20% has to come from local funding.
Right.
So they gave, and then it ended up, we didn't know we can include all the connection fees in the grant when we applied. We had a week to put the grant application together. So we didn't know, and we didn't really have time to look into any of that stuff. And then also since then, you know, that was a few years ago, the price of construction's gone up. So I think the last thing, I've got another sheet where I estimated what everything was going to cost if you want to, if anyone's curious about.
What is your benefit assessment rate per property?
12,000 for a single family house.
Okay.
So some of those commercial would be a little bit more, but not many of them. I mean, for instance, we got that self storage area. So if we used our commercial assessment schedule is based on square feet, but square feet in a self storage, you know, the sewers doesn't benefit them at all. So no, I don't think
really it's
yeah,
zero.
One bathroom,
one employee.
Right. So even though that's a large commercial property space wise, I think it would get the same assessment as a single family house.
Yep.
Yeah.
As we all are aware, you know, self storage is always a temporary hold for long term land value. So normal circumstances, those are disposable in many respects. You can take them down and put them somewhere else if something else comes along that's a little bit more financially rewarding. That's the whole premise behind self-storage.
Thank you for that real estate tip, Rich.
No charge.
So I'm not an engineer, but I remember the original report from Nathan L. Jacobson, which I think was done in June of 2018,
yeah,
did conclude that there would be an average daily flow of 9,330 gallons per day. And then they projected out the 29,000, which you said you're considering your reserve, and that's what your grant was based on. How do you get from that from the 29,000 to the 9,000? I guess I see how you do that. That was on page 2 of his report. And then your recent memo comes down to 3,000 gallons per day. So yeah. how does the 9,330 gallons per day of Nick Jacobson's report of 2018 become 3,000 gallons per day in Mike Ruth's memo of January 14 this year?
I can't speak to exactly where Nathan Jacobson came up with those flow numbers, but this is the sheet that I use. So I've got all our properties listed here, some descriptions that I've been using. Again, this has my estimated connection fees to Manchester, probably between 72 and 85,000, and then flows. I mean, I think the DEP estimate of flow from a single family house is 250 gallons a day. At our treatment plant, the reality is it's closer to 100 gallons a day. People are much more conscientious about water saving. So this is where I came up with these flow estimates again. We've got some commercial properties like the funeral home, but I don't think that they're using, you know, they're not taking showers and doing laundry and all those heavy water use things. So most of my properties, I've got a flow estimate of about 100 gallons a day, with the exception of the plaza that's got the auction house and the liquor store and the electrician downstairs. And then two of them are vacant. So actually I came up with 2,800 gallons a day.
Okay.
Can I just interject?
Sure.
For informational purposes, because the commercial properties are the most difficult to come up with what can you possibly use. We've used different criteria, but what we finally decided to do on the commercial property, we had them put water meters in.
Okay.
And, you know, and we use that. We establish the base, and the water meter either supports it, or if they go above it, we increase. And that's, I'm just saying that because that's probably something worth your guys looking at it, so that, you know, when flow increases, you know, if your commercial properties are doing it, you can charge for it.
And did you make the property owners pay to install
those
meters?
Okay. Yeah,
and that's just part of the regulations?
Yes, yeah, okay. We did.
Well, in most cases, they were asking for an EDU assessment that was less than what public health code would require.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, initially, you know, when we did this, the EDU flows were based on Connecticut public health code. And I suspect that's where, you know, the calculations for your initial flows came from also was from the Connecticut public health code, because that's been what was used to design the entire system.
And some of them made no sense. I mean, as far as some of these commercial properties, really didn't make a whole lot of sense based on what their use is. So we found the most consistent way of doing it is that method.
Okay. But you know what, and I will say the one that comes to mind is, you know, we have a dental practice that is on the sewer system here in Bolton, right? And public health code that we're currently using does not match with today's practices, right?
Right.
They just don't use the amount of water that they used to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they actually provided some data to the sewer authority, requested a lower EDU assessment, and installed a water meter at the request of the sewer authority. And, you know, the proof is borne out in the water meter readings.
Great idea. Okay. I think the big plaza said, he said they have a water meter, but it stopped working. So he was going to try to get it fixed so he could give me an estimate of about, do you ever have to do any calibration or checking those meters or?
So we have our engineering group check them periodically.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay.
I mean, it's not a monthly check. I mean,
right.
You know, unless you see a change in business, where you may want to do it, but no, most of these are very consistent.
So multifamily properties have water meters, and any business occupancy has a water meter.
So Mike, just a couple more questions for me, if you don't mind.
All right. Yeah.
So the business of what Manchester is going to charge for a connection fee. It's interesting. I just kind of was flipping through the Manchester intermunicipal agreement today, and they charged, this is a 2007 deal, but they were, the agreement between Manchester and Bolton and the authority, I should say, this is a September 2007 agreement. They, if I'm reading it right, says that the connection fee for this purposes of this agreement would be $500 per dwelling unit. So they're not giving you something in that order of magnitude or what?
That's another great question, Rich. So funny story about that, maybe not funny to them, is that was less than Manchester was charging Manchester residents to connect. And then the Manchester residents found out that Bolton Lakes properties were getting a lower connection fee. And there was a big uproar about it and they changed it. So now Manchester's schedule of fees specifically says properties in the Bolton Lakes sewer district will be charged, have it here somewhere, based on a estimate of maximum flow of all the plumbing fixtures in their bill. Is that you guys' recollection of that, of the connection fee? So I think now it's about $3,000 to $4,000 is the connection fee that we'll have to pay Manchester. The lowest possible fee they have is $2,700.
Wow. For a residential property?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Whoa. Cheaper than a septic system.
Yeah.
Mike, I don't want to monopolize your time here tonight, but your email said that you're proposing that use fees will be based on flow meter readings. Coventry will install and own a flow meter. That ownership thing in the term sheet was proposed that Bolton would own it, and that really came. That was a bit of consistency with the Manchester agreement that the authority has, the intermunicipal agreement that they have with Manchester. Bolton, the authority built and paid for the meter, but it clearly says in the agreement that Manchester owns it. So why would Coventry want to install and own it, which is different than what Manchester did to the authority?
We have two.
Yeah, my suggestion would be that there get two installed. Coventry owns one, Bolton Lakes owns another, just like we've done at the Manchester Town line. So if there's a discrepancy or an anomaly like we're seeing right now in our payments to Manchester, you know, we could see if both meters are reading at about the same. That'd be my suggestion.
Yeah, that's great. I just wrote that. I thought I was doing you guys a favor by us owning it and installing it, but
we generally we found two, and just because some mechanical things happened on the Manchester side and things weren't making any sense. Sure, so yeah. We have two. It just made, and since we've done that, things have been.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So it's just a good way of everybody is. There's no issue.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So like
checks and balances. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if all of a sudden your usage goes up, 5,000 gallons, well, both meters are reading an extra 5,000 gallons. It's probably true and accurate, right?
Yeah.
But if one is and one isn't, say, then what's maybe going on? An issue there.
And that's
so when you built the system, Bob, you built two metering pits and 2 meters and
not
and
initially.
Manchester owns. Initially there was the one in Manchester, and we were having erratic returns on it and finding that there were issues with the system they had. There was bits of materials getting in there and distorting it. So we had our own installed. That was way before we completed the project, and also dealt with some of the issues that were in there. There's some material still flowing down in the gravity feed things that were messing up their readings. But once we had the two in, we've had pretty good. I think there's maybe once or twice where Manchester's, because it was electronically sending signals out, it didn't match up. But that was a number of years ago. And once we got things working right, they have been right up, spot on.
Who pays for the calibration and how often do you do it?
Well, I think Manchester takes care of their own.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So same thing. We would
you take it your own.
We would get our own calibrated annually and or
whatever.
However often you got.
Yeah. However often
requested us.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was the initial getting things squared away.
Yeah.
And also as we were adding on, we're doing phase. So our flow kept changing significantly. We wanted to make sure we're getting proper readings.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one last question. I think, Mike, we talked about the reserve capacity and you've got your proposal here. Do you think that the authority should and Coventry should consider a second look back in a year or 2 years to see if your assumptions of usage from Coventry should change, and if so, should that change the amount of the contribution?
Bill, I could use your help on this one here. You've got some thoughts on that. I think it's certainly a fair question, Rich. I like how your original proposal, did say after a year we would look back at the flows, and see if they were what we expected. Bill, what do you think?
I think one thing we talked about, Mike, was, having us have that capacity up to that 29,000 or 30,000 number and having the fees somewhat associated to that so that we have that reserve there. That would be the value, Rich, that you had talked about earlier that we were thinking. The downside is, having the number make sense for the town of Coventry is what we're struggling with and trying to make this whole deal make sense to our taxpayers and our town council. So we got that's the bigger hurdle that we have to, get over there. Right now we're at that 375-ish number. There may be a little room there to maneuver. I'm not sure. And potentially, Rich, having a look back in a year or 2 years to say, hey, we're getting closer to that 30,000 number and maybe it does need to be adjusted. There could be something written in for that potentially.
Okay, that would be my recommendation to the authority. Just so that, you know, if you get that reserve capacity and you're starting to use it, then obviously, you know, in fairness would dictate that you should pay some more, you know.
I mean, yeah, I think as long as we're upfront with our council about that moving forward and having them know, hey, there's a potential for X number of dollar, you know, payment in the future.
Right. Okay, thank you.
That's fair. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Rich.
Anybody else have any questions for Mike? Or Mike, is there anything else you wanted to share with the group?
Yeah, that was connection fee and use fees. And then the last thing would be future capital repairs to the shared infrastructure. So that'd be the bioxide station or the shared pipe, you know, the portion of the pipe that we're pumping into. Again, we were proposing a flow-based percentage of repair costs. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, the bioxide station needs, you know, $100,000 of repairs and we're 9% of the flow, we would pay $9,000.
So, I mean, one of the things you heard us talk about, or Mr. Hayes talk about earlier in the meeting when we were talking about our budget is, you know, we're trying to put some money in capital reserve, you know, in order to be able to, you know, cover some of those repairs.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be reasonable for, let's say if we agree that your assessment should be 9%, if we're putting $30,000 a year into that capital reserve fund, do you think it would be reasonable to expect, you know, Coventry to contribute 9% of that $30,000 to the capital reserve fund?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good to have money set aside.
Yeah, we don't want to have the money there if an emergency happens.
Yeah. Than to bond and have to pay interest.
Well, exactly, because it benefits both.
Yeah.
Both parties.
Yeah. Sounds fair to me, Bill. Makes sense to you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Anybody else have any comments or questions since we have our neighbors here today? If not, well, thank you. Obviously, this board will be meeting to discuss this information and we'll get back to you, and we'll try and do it sooner than later. This is a project that we don't want to, if it's going to go forward, we don't want to be the ones slowing you down.
Thank you. We've had some questions from EPA about why we haven't spent their grant yet. Concerning.
Bob's an expert. He'll handle all those questions.
The agency that moves like a snail. He's asking us.
He's telling you you're too slow.
Okay. But you
so
can just
thank you.
Next time, when you speak to them, you can share our comments that, you know. We do not want to hold this up. We'll try and move it along as quickly as we possibly can.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming tonight.
And
we appreciate it.
Thank you guys for all your time.
It's helpful.
We've been beating this up a lot and going back and forth, but there's been a lot of good discussion. I think it was productive.
It's not easy to wrestle with, right? On either side.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, everyone.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks, Bill. See you tomorrow.
Take care. Take care, guys.
Good night.
Well, unless you have something hidden away, Jim, and you're...
I really don't. You know, I think we should talk about, and we could, you know, we can do this here tonight, or we can do it, through communications online. I think we should discuss, you know, getting together as a group, taking the information that Mike has provided us with, digest it, you know, probably have our engineering consultant there as well as our counsel there, and try to, you know, be able to have a meeting and get back to Coventry as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We talked about holding a special meeting. We need to get everything here and have your input, Coventry's input, so we knew exactly where things were.
Okay.
And I think that's what we are. We'll be planning to do. We'll try and set up a time with our membership that we can have this. And it'll be a executive session because obviously we're discussing contracts.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Can I revise that spread? I'd emailed you a spreadsheet.
You can revise it. And send it over.
Yeah, yep. Please. That's the better data we have, the easier it makes things progress.
Yeah, since I sent it, I added in your fiscal year 24 budget numbers. Yep. So we have another year for the average. And I'll adjust that percentage on the number of properties, too, if you think you've got about 400 properties.
Yeah, I can
fine tune.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, yeah, if we can. Either you can check with Terry over in Vernon or we can check, but when she bills, she gives us a report and it's over 300 properties. I think it's closer to four.
Okay. Yeah. I've emailed her before, so I should have her. I've got her info.
Yeah. She can tell you exactly how many properties she billed.
Okay. Do you mind if I just copy you on the email so she can see perfect. That it's on the up and up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it's public information. Yeah. She should be willing to give it to you, but you're welcome to copy me on the email.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So, meetings. We chuckle when we see meetings. We're spending almost with budgets, at least once or twice a week.
Bob only had four meetings.
This is my third one. Tomorrow night will be my fourth one. So I'm sucking wind as it is. So, but. Regardless of that, I think February, so towards the latter part of February, we should be in pretty good shape. So perhaps we can coordinate with Vernon, and we'll send out some proposed dates that most where we all can get together and really get a nitty gritty on this.
Yep.
Does anybody else have comments or questions? Mr. Hayes, enjoy your time off.
Well, my short time in the sunny south.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's enjoyable. So enjoy. And I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, I'm happy to do it. At some point, Jim, I want to make sure that I don't know what's been going back and forth between the town of Coventry and the town of Bolton, but I'd like an updated version of that so I could better understand what actually we're contemplating agreeing to.
You have exactly what I got.
That's it.
No, but Richard, you haven't been back and forth drafting documents with them or no?
No, the last thing we did was the term sheet, which you have. Yeah,
I have the.
Now this is it.
Okay.
Well, you got everything that we got.
I got it. The way it was presented, I thought there was additional terms that I was unaware of. That's all.
No.
Okay.
No. That's why it's important we all sit down and grind out this last thing and figure out where to go.
I'm waiting for that executive session to better articulate my position.
Well, likewise.
So. All right. Fair enough.
Instead of shooting my mouth off as I occasionally happen, so we should not do that. I thank our town attorney here for joining us.
Well, I'd be happy to make a motion to adjourn.
Great.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.